This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I'm double fisting beverages. I got water and tea.
Pamplemousse this time. Or wait, is that Pamplemousse?
That's Cran.
That's a Cran Razz.
Cran
Pamplemousse has the like opaque pink.
I don't do LaCroix, so I don't know the flavors.
Oh, you're a Soleil guy?
No, I'm a just regular ass water guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just recently became a Waterloo girl.
What's Waterloo?
It's a different brand of sparkling water. I've changed my allegiance.
There's so many brands of sparkling water. There's
Bubbly's popping.
There's Bubbly's Bubbly, poppin'. There's Ugly, there's Spindrift, there's
Spindrift is nasty.
That's what we should have done for our Spin Doctors punch up.
Spindrift?
Mm-hmm. It's two princes, but they're sodas.
Two sodas.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go any further than that. We won't get what we're saying. Should we start?
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Jamtown racists sing this song. Punch up, punch up. Jamtown podcast too damn long. Oh, the punched up jam.
Perfect.
Thank you.
We finally did it.
We finally did it, and now I will never do another different one. Hello, and welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
My name is Miel.
My name is not Miel.
And
what do we do here on this podcast?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. We're going to make a perfect song.
Okay.
Even more perfect.
Huh. Uh-huh. So you think the song is perfect?
I didn't say that.
It sounds like you did.
No. These are my notes. I just got into the notes early.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's introduce our... Well, actually, before we introduce our guest, quick shout-out to our listener, Daniel from Illinois, a.k.a. Punchmaster Flex, who made us a subreddit a while ago, but we haven't shouted him out until now. And also, this is going to come out even later than that, so...
This comes out in 3 years.
Yeah, so we're going to be old and gray. I'll probably have been dead a good 2.5 years.
Elizabeth Warren's a great president, it
turns
out.
She's a great president. Again, it is a shame that she had to kill me, but it was worth her becoming president. Let's introduce our guest! Woo! You know him from his podcast, The Flagrant Ones. You know him as a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You also know him from UCB. Give it up for Carl Todd!
Oh, D.I.P. coming live from the VIP. I heard the nightlife falls like without me.
You know, we used to come out to that in high school, basketball.
Oh, that's such
really?
A good
that
choice.
That was in 2005 when that song came out.
Yeah.
We ran out to that, and it got the crowd so hyped.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great – that song will forever be
– perfect walkout song.
Yeah.
You ever break through the paper when you run out?
That was football. Yeah, we did that in football.
Oh, I did that in cheerleading.
I feel like you should get to do that in any event where you have to walk out to people.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's, like, you're hosting, like, the Emmys or something, you should get to run through paper that says the Emmys.
I agree.
Yeah. That would be tight. That
more running tight. Through paper, 2020.
Yeah. The cheerleaders would, like, rip it a little bit so we could get through it.
Mm.
So we wouldn't, like, all get caught up in it.
It's like that scene in Little Giants.
Yeah. They have to rip it, and then they rip it down, they run out before us. But in basketball, the cheerleaders would just, like, do, like, a tunnel. And we'd all run through, like, the little cheerleader tunnel.
There should be a cheerleader tunnel with paper at the end. That's
paper
what
at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's
obstacle course.
The real appeal of playing sports is getting to run out to a cool song.
Oh, yeah.
That's the fun part. Fuck the game. I don't care about the game.
That was my sophomore year, so I rode the bench. So it was, like,
are
that was,
like... Are we the same age? What year did you graduate?
07.
Me too!
Yeah,
was your prom theme 007?
Of course, you know it was. Casino Royale. We had casino games at
playing
our prom.
On the wall, so did I!
Yes.
Oh, my
They did the fake casino. Everybody got tokens and chips, and everybody like was gambling.
But where'd you grow up?
I grew up here.
Okay.
In LA.
I was like, you guys are going to just reveal that you grew up at the same place.
I was born here.
Yeah, and then you left?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Oh, Orcas Island, Washington.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was born in Mississippi, and I moved here when I was 9 years old, and I grew up. On the west side.
Where in the west side?
Like Culver City, Palms area.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're so cool. You're already the coolest guest we've ever had. You grew up in Culver City.
Thank you. Let me comb my mustache.
Okay, question. While we're talking about how cool you are, why did you want to do I Don't Want to Be by Gavin DeGraw?
Well, I sent Demi a few songs.
Okay.
And I knew that he was going to turn down the other one.
I forgot what the other ones even were.
Well, the first one I sent you was Pretty Ricky's On the Hotline.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, this may not be the right audience for this one, but but y'all have done some, like, y'all did Hey Ma, y'all did.
What's
and
up?
I was like, the lyrics in Pretty Ricky songs are ridiculous, and I just wanted to talk to you about them. But this one was also my jam, this same, around the same year, like a year before this.
Mm-hmm.
I will wake up every morning before school and watch that MTV Countdown.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So this was always on there, and the Keens, Somewhere Only We Know.
Yeah.
And Jet said, "Are you gonna be my girl?" Yeah. And wow. And I remember like liking this dude so much, and he came out on this album. It was like three singles on this album that were like, I like all these damn songs. Follow Through, Chariot, this one.
Was he...
Fuck!
I'm thinking of someone else. He wasn't married to Gwen Stefani, was he? That's someone else?
Ain't that
Gavin Rock. Gavin Keith? Something. The guy from Bush, I think, is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's not him.
Yeah.
Gavin DeGraw is a singer that I haven't really heard much from the last few years.
I honestly was just like, this song, and then you reminded me about Chariot, but I don't think I know his work very well.
The thing I think most people know this song from is One Tree Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This was the theme song for One Tree Hill.
It sure was.
Which is hilarious. Have you rewatched that promo?
I haven't.
I rewatched the theme song, and I was just kind of like, why this song?
Why this song, right? It doesn't fit the vibe at all.
I feel like maybe the vibe became, like, to me, it's like, it does fit the vibe, but it's just so intrinsically tied to that show that I'm like, well, it's the same vibe. But I'm also just kind of like, it felt like the official song of the CW for a while, just because I'm like, when I hear the song, I think every promo on the CW, but yeah.
Was this song. You know, have you guys done California, Here We Come yet?
No.
All right, let's scrap this and do that now.
Okay, California.
That song was the jam, too. And that fit that show.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a great theme for that show.
Perfect for the
OC. I think the best theme song in that time was Feel the Rain on Your Skin.
What was that, the theme?
Oh, the Laguna. Hills.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
The Hill, come unwritten.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch the
I only know the ending and I was a Laguna all of the people Beach guy. In it.
Oh, Laguna come Beach. On. The fuck.
Which
shit.
One was Spencer on?
Spencer was the Hills, right?
Yeah. So maybe Spencer I did Heidi. Watch it.
Yeah, no, The Hills was, special. Best finale of all time.
It was such a big part of the zeitgeist that I'm like, well, I know a lot about it, but I've never seen a full episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, I never paid attention to the words of this song outside of the chorus. In fact, prior to this punch-up, I couldn't tell you what the verses sounded like. And I think there's a reason for that, because they're not, you know, anything.
They're a little
anything.
Confusing.
Yeah, it's a dumb song. But, you know... It's so interesting to me. I almost never pay attention to words,
right?
Even though I know them, I know this song back and forth. But I was just like, I just like the chord progressions.
Yeah.
It's a good song to listen to. It makes me feel good. But then when you actually listen to the lyrics, you go, oh, this is stupid.
Well, it's like kind of fucking condescending.
Yeah,
it's like very condescending. Yeah. He says that song was heavily influenced by the identity crisis right now that exists among youth. Which, by the way, like, he's a youth at this time. Anyway, it's almost like you can go into any town in the country and the kids don't necessarily have an identity of their own. It's like whatever is on television is who they are. Again, this was a TV theme.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
All right, man.
It's also been like that forever.
It ain't
never been. I mean, it's more homogenous now because we all have
phones.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you go to places now and everybody's wearing skinny jeans as opposed to just the West Coast and East Coast.
Right.
But
still, like... What a cool like observation to strangely like put himself above. It's very.
Was this his first album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chariot.
In my head, I'm like, if this is his second album, you can't. Or even if it's like just if it's not the first song he's put out, if he's on a major label making this kind of stuff, it's like you can't be like kids nowadays. They're all just like sheep. It's like you
iPhones and who's he, what's it's and Googles.
This reminds me of. Did you guys watch that the 90s, the decade that made us thing?
No.
Or the last best decade or whatever it's called.
Uh-uh.
Anyway, Courtney Love was on there being like, oh, Kurt Cobain used to always like get in the media and talk about how much he hated being a rock star and how much he didn't want to do it. He loved that shit.
What?
He loved it. And I was just like, oh, so you're just going to snitch on your boy like that?
Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah, I know. He ain't here to protect
for himself.
And you killed him. And I think artists do that.
Like, yeah. Anti-consumerism feels like a big part of just being like, we're not cheap. We're all like, entire genres of like pop punk. We're all about how it's like, we're different than everyone else. It's like, okay, but you're
we're
all
making the same money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At some point, like you want to be above it all until you're benefiting from it. And then you're like, actually the system's okay.
The thing is true. Like uniqueness is like a lonely, lonely life.
Wow. That's poignant.
I mean,
wow. No, I'm serious. That was a little deeper than I was expecting.
Well, yeah, it's like everyone's like, I don't want to be like everyone else, but it's like you kind of do, or you else do. You're just alone, and that's
true
what's
outliers.
The point of that.
Yeah, yeah, you have to own up to it at a certain point.
Yeah,
or you just live in a cave, I guess, and you know, become Bjork. I think that's what happens.
Yeah, but even Bjork's got, you know, her little duck husband and their little duck kids.
Continue.
That's it. She's got Bjork, you got Fjork, and you got Bjork. And Kjork, I think.
Yeah.
Those are the kids.
Yep.
And her husband, Tom.
I think he goes by Thomas now.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. He de-weirded himself. Anyway.
Okay. With that said, I have a couple more notes, but I think they'd be more appropriate once we get into the song. Shall we?
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
We'll just start at the beginning.
Wow.
What a...
Wow.
It feels like such a slight intro. I'm just like, nothing's happened yet.
There's like this energy, though, that it's like, respect me.
Yeah.
Don't you get that? From the second that guitar starts, it's like, yeah, you're not ready for this.
Yeah.
I hope he looked at his drummer and was like, hit it. His drummer was like,
it's just all improv at this point. He's like, we'll just feel it out. I got some words. I don't know what we'll do with these.
You can feel that there's like this weird, like, I think they look sexy, but they look menacing.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like the guitar player just hitting those two notes. Like, when you, I tried to look up the chords to the song thinking I might do like a classical arrangement or something, and it just says no chord for the entire verse.
Well, that makes sense. It's just single notes, right?
Yeah, and what's really interesting, too, is that I feel like it kind of worked in his favor, and that when the chorus happens, you're like, finally!
Yeah.
Something I can fucking sing along to.
Maybe that's what makes it good.
Well, but also, isn't then half the song bad?
I feel like if half of the song is building it up for the other half, then it's like, maybe it serves its purpose in a way that's like, okay, it's good.
It's a gamble, because you're like, I'm banking on people waiting a minute for the song to actually go anywhere.
Man, he really believed in this song, I guess.
Yeah.
I also love that piano's just ding, 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 ding.
He gets jazzy on his piano in a lot of his songs. Yeah. He likes to play like a little like slide piano, like on, what's the song? It's not Follow Through, is it? Or is it Chariot? No, well, both of those have strong piano.
Yeah.
And
do you have a favorite Gavin DeGraw song?
I think it's Chariot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Chariot.
Yeah. That's when I sing at karaoke.
Oh, that's a good, sounds like a good karaoke song.
It's a good karaoke song.
Oh, does anyone sing with you? Does anyone know that song anymore?
You know what? When I get up, because of my stature, when I get up and sing Gavin DeGraw, people love it.
Yeah.
And it's because they always expect, I don't know if they expect me to come up and do Still Dre. And I'm like, that's reserved for white guys.
Yeah. It's karaoke. You always do the thing you're not,
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a, yep, exactly correct. You're exactly correct.
But like, when I get up and do that, or do Bonnie Raitt, or whatever it is.
Ooh, what Bonnie Raitt do you do?
I just do Let's Give Them Something to Talk About.
Can you imagine doing fucking I Can't Make You Love Me?
Too slow. I do that when the crowd is not not popping.
You ready for a group cry? Yeah,
That's fair.
Oh, man, okay. Should we listen to what he has to say?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I can imagine, like, I don't have an idea of what the music video actually looks like, but I feel like I can visualize it just like them playing in a warehouse somewhere. It's like just this grungy warehouse.
I so wish it was that. What it actually is a house party, and it's two sequences, and obviously one sequence is the band performance, and Gavin DeGraw made the brave choice of wearing a corduroy brown jacket with a button-up, very thick-collared, like paisley-patterned Western-style shirt with the collar of the shirt on the outside of the jacket, and then, get this, a beanie.
Oh, yeah.
A fucking beanie.
And did you see his footwear?
No, what's the footwear?
He's wearing thong sandals.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
What?
This is insane.
Brown thong sandals with his bootcut jeans. So you know the backs are flared.
No!
O'Miel, you know the backs are flared.
They're torn up.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's such a, like, 2007 guy in One Tree Hill kind of outfit, too.
Oh, no.
He also will wear, like, short-brimmed hats, but would turn the brim kind of to the side, and I can't stand that shit right there.
Ooh, straight on or backwards.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. It's a half, I don't know who he's trying, it's a half Jason Mraz, but then, like, a half Rascal Flatts.
Mraz-cal
I don't know.
Flat.
It's a Mraz-cal Flatts. Mm. That's exactly what it is.
Mm. I don't like that.
And then the other part of the video, the story part of the video, is the one cool, nonconformist girl who,
of course,
is just very normally hot and looks exactly like a hot girl.
Sure.
is the only one unfrozen at the party, investigating all of the fucking posers. And actually, at one point, taking a girl's eyeliner out of her frozen hand and writing on her head, imposter.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then trying to kiss a frozen football player. But then, like, I don't know if she did or didn't, but I'm like, this feels very Fifth Element of you. Please do not.
So I feel like there were like three music video concepts up until like 2010. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're at a party, you're in a warehouse, or I don't know what the third one is, but I'm like, there aren't, everything is just set around the same set of tropes.
Yeah. Could you guess what happens at the end of the video?
She finds Gavin at the party.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly correct.
Hell yeah.
And we wrote a video.
Damn.
A specialist
okay. In what?
I have the note. Are you okay. Ready to hear? Yeah.
Yes.
Just before I tell you, what do you, like, specialist, you're like, okay, what does she do?
Thinking a therapist of some sort, like, mm-hmm. like a county appointed
yeah.
psychologist.
Yeah.
Great
a psychiatrist
idea.
That works for like a local hospital mm-hmm. that works with troubled youth.
Yeah. Definitely something in the medical profession.
Okay, yeah. My first thought was like maybe like a gastroenterologist or something. She gives Botox.
That's no joke. That's what I was thinking.
No.
Yes. No, I was like some sort of like plastic surgeon of some sort.
No, just Botox, injectables.
Huh.
Which, by the way, 2003, she was ahead of her time.
Yeah. Where did he grow up?
Oh, I did not look that up.
That's okay.
It feels like, okay, I'm just going to take a stab. North Florida.
Here. You thinking North Florida?
No,
I'm thinking Delaware.
San Diego.
Let's take a break and then I will come back with the answer.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Wait, what were your guesses about where he's from?
I said Delaware.
I said North Florida and San Diego.
He's from South Fallsburg, New York. Yeah.
So that's like outside the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I'm on his Wikipedia page. His mother was a detox specialist.
What?
Not Botox.
You're telling me songfacts.com led me astray?
By two letters.
Apologies to Gavin.
Well, first you Botox and then you detox.
Yeah.
I did say don't fact check me, but in this case, I do apologize for the slander on Gavin DeGraw's late mother.
Oh, also, what do you think is the most, like, Gavin DeGraw type middle name for him to have?
Jefferson?
Gavin DeGraw. I'm going to say Gavin DeGraw's middle name is, he's born in the early 80s. I'm going to say Gavin's Tyler.
Shane.
Yeah. And I think he's born in 77.
Oh, late.
I don't 70s. Know why I remember
he
that.
He was born in 77, February 4th.
I got the Botox thing wrong, but I know the year he was born.
Yeah. He was born the year Star Wars came
out.
Oh,
brother. So I don't need to be anything other than a prison guard's son.
Weird way to start it.
Yeah.
I'd also just contest right off the top. No, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you can be other things.
Because those guys aren't usually good.
Yeah. No, that's...
Generally speaking.
Even just like setting up prison guard before specialist, I'm like, do it the other way so you have a cushion of like, This is my good parent. This isn't, I don't know, not so proud of this job.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, maybe just say my mother's son, my father's son.
Yeah.
Do we need their jobs? I just don't know what their jobs have to do with it.
He wanted to be so specific to him. And also, it's just like, now you're classifying your parents by their jobs.
Yeah. Right. So do they need to be something other than a specialist? Or they just say, I don't need to be anything other than Gavin DeGraw's mom.
Yeah. Then Gavin's mommy.
This is like the opposite of that, I'm a bitch. He's just like, I'm a son. I'm a son. Okay, cool. Strong move right out the gate. Also, the way he's singing it, it's like, it's not really with the music. It's kind of just a companion piece.
He comes out pretty quickly with mediocrity. Did you notice? Like,
yeah.
I don't need to be anything other than this.
Right.
It's like, so what are you doing, man?
What are you advocating for?
Yeah.
Why even be a musician at all?
Yeah.
Great question. Why don't you just live at your parents' house and chill, man?
What if it was just like he had that first line and then the rest of the song was completely blank and he's just like, I don't need to be anything other than a prison guard's son.
Okay, so what? I don't know how he could follow this up.
Oh, he follows it up by finally rhyming with the word son instead of just using it twice.
What?
Coming from.
Oh, that guitar coming in and like finally hitting. I'm like, okay, this is what you've been waiting
it's
for.
It's sweet relief from what the fuck hell we're in now.
It's a firework going off when you've just been like, all right, I see them lighting the firework. When's the fuse gonna fucking hit?
It's the bottle rocket going, hee! before it pops.
Exactly.
I bet you, like, this song inspired some kid to be like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to school and I'm going to walk by the black table. And then he walks by the black table and they're still like, hey, what's up, bitch?
He's like, I don't need to be anything other than a bitch.
He's like, you're the bitch. Like, what'd you say? No, I said, you're the bitch. And then he's
You're the best. I'm a bitch. Gotta go.
I'm a bitch.
That's like the fucking Will.i.am punch up we deserve. I'm a bitch. I'm a bitch.
Yeah, exactly that one.
Wow, okay, I don't have to be anyone, so it's not anything anymore. Now it's anyone, which I think maybe should have been what it was the whole time, right? I don't need to be anything. Is he an inanimate object? Whatever. I don't have to be anyone other than the birth of two souls in one. Mm. What's that mean?
I guess it's just the amalgamation of what his parents made.
So meiosis.
Yeah, essentially, just I guess it's him being like, yeah, I don't have to. It's just him doubling down on the previous two lines by combining it.
He's like, so I'm an egg and a sperm.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, he was just talking about his parents smashing.
Like, exactly.
I guess they described the session for him. And it was like, Pops was like, so I got off from the prison. I came home. Mom's had made some beef stroganoff.
She wasn't working today. It was off day at the clinic.
I was about to clap them cheeks. Yeah. It was 1976.
And the souls became one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the Spice Girls, but they have a whole song about this.
Two became one that night. And we were doing it to the Spice Girls. Yeah. Make no mistakes. It was 76, but we knew.
We knew.
I also just, any song that can somehow shoehorn in my parents fucked, I am a fan.
Oh, yeah. It's like the basis of the song, it feels like.
The basis, yeah. He wrote the whole song around like, how can I get this off my chest? My parents fucked, okay?
I don't need to be anything other than my prison dad's cum.
That's the punch up I should have done.
And then everything else is the same.
Mm-hmm. And then part of where I'm going is knowing where I'm coming from. My dad's dick. My dad's vast deference.
Yeah.
Coming from that meat. You know, this one is true. But, because you should know where you came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Weird way to frame it.
Yeah.
Why not be like, from fucking whatever, New York?
From South Fallsburg, New York.
Yeah, tell me about, like, the house you grew up in. Tell me about, like, the neighborhood, like, the school you went to. Like, maybe it sucks, but you're proud of it anyway, because it's yours.
Yeah.
It feels so much like he's just circling the drain and being like, here are my parents, and I'm mentioning this because, you know, it's important to my future. And then he's like, all right, chorus time. Time to sing the words I wanted to sing.
This feels like, if they decided to really just fuck off with the Star Wars franchise they're doing right now, and they were like, what if, help me out, what's the girl's name in it?
Rey,
right?
Yeah.
What if Rey finally finds out who her parents are?
Prison Garden Specialist.
This is her song.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so focused on, like, parents.
Yeah.
Huh?
We
all got them.
The great mystery of this song is like, well, who are my parents? Well, I'm going to tell you. Just stick around and wait.
This is the song Rey sings in Star Wars the Musical.
Is there a Star Wars the Musical?
There's about to be. Don't steal my idea.
Okay.
Thanks. All right.
So where I'm coming from, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. Woo! All I have to do is sing of me and I have peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around, who's wondering what I gotta do or who I'm supposed to be.
Boy, when I tell you I used to harmonize to that.
Oh, same.
I heard it. That was amazing.
Trying to be lately.
You guys are making me like the song.
Wait, you didn't like it?
Oof.
I'm out of here. One side of my headphones off.
No. Please don't say anything else. He'll take the other one off.
No, that part rips. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
That part rips.
I feel like the reason that I cottoned onto this so much was because I'd hear it and like I'd hear the harmonies and be like, ooh, this who I'm supposed to be. Yeah.
And also the drummer like didn't get the memo that this was supposed to be kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to go off. All right.
Gavin was probably like, yo, man, let's calm down and do the cat, cat, cat. He was like, no, I'm hitting the do the cat, cat, cat.
He don't do it.
Doo-doo cat cat cat.
Doo-doo cat cat cat.
He starts looking back and like, don't. He's like, I'm fucking doing it. And then everyone on stage is like, oh, we can play now too, I guess.
Huh, also just the fucking finally giving us chords.
Yeah.
The whole song was just two notes until this point.
Mm-hmm.
He really edged us out.
He filled it out though, after
he
edging
did.
Us.
I mean, like, I think this song is annoying, but I have to say, it kind of worked on me. When the chorus came, I was very excited.
It's so intrinsically tied to just One Tree Hill to me, which is a show that's like, I watched episodes here and there, but never was like a big fan of it or like hated it or anything. So I'm just kind of like, I remember the theme song and that's my closest memory of it. And I'm like, pretty good. I don't know.
Now, I have to be honest. I never watched One Tree Hill.
Yeah. No, me neither.
Where was that in relation to Dawson's Creek? Is Dawson's Creek like 10 years? Like when we were much younger, right? Yeah. That's 90s, right?
One Tree Hill was like, I think we were in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like middle, like eighth grade. Yeah. I remember feeling like I was too old for it.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
But. I was definitely the right age for it, but I didn't watch it all the same. It's from 2003. Yeah. September 2003.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why this song popped off.
That was when we started ninth grade.
Yeah. You know? That's right.
Wow. Damn.
Remember that?
No.
I had a brand new pair of Air Force Ones.
I remember.
Oh, really?
Excited.
I think I had a new Red Echo shirt.
Yeah?
Definitely had a new backpack.
I was like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty cool in my Volcom sneakers.
Gonna go skating after school, but you won't see me do it, but I will be skating.
Do you remember, this might not be relatable to you guys, but do you remember really thinking you did something fashion-wise because you put on, like, a pair of jeans with like a new t-shirt and that was the whole outfit?
Oh yeah.
You did no accessories.
Me and my mom went to Mervyn's and I bought all of the like Fat Farm South Pole t-shirts that, and I remember
they were
it,
so
like,
cool.
Well, the first, so 2003, the first day of school, I had on a FUBU Worldwide shirt.
Wow.
So that was with the new Air Forces. Hair was cut.
Like, you were cool.
Yeah, you were fresh.
I was, I mean, you know, you had to be in my school,
right?
Was no option. And I saw you wanted to reinvent yourself after middle school.
Yeah, it's your time to step out.
Yeah.
But to think you really did something when you don't even have like layers to your outfit, there's no accessories, you're fucking otherwise exactly the same, it's just a new t-shirt.
I feel like that was me a lot because I didn't try anything, so every time I was like, might just wear a hat today, I'm like, feeling pretty fucking good right now.
I thought I did something because I wore gray sweatpants with a gray sweatshirt.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then blending into those walls.
Yep. I'm just as bland as my personality was.
So he says, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me, and I have peace of mind. What does that first sentence mean?
I don't want to be.
Okay, I think he's saying that who he is lately is like his most authentic self. So he's like, I'm going to stop trying to be this version that society wants me to be. I'm just going to be me. And if I ever start to doubt myself, I just remember me.
Yeah.
And then I feel fine. I don't feel like I need to impress anybody anymore.
Yeah. It's like he's saying, like, I don't want to be anything aside from what I have been already I'm trying really hard to be this one thing, but I don't want to be anything else.
Again, thing I take issue with. Yeah. Why isn't it anyone?
Maybe it's like thing in terms of like jock or prep or like nerd or skater.
Again, those are identities though.
I know, an identity is a thing.
What?
This identity feels like thing. He got reprimanded at work and it wasn't even like a strong reprimandation.
Yeah.
You know how like rappers like will be like, this goes out to my 11th grade English teacher who told me I was gonna never be nothing. Right. It's like, no, she just wanted you to read aloud in class.
It's like, hey, it really, like, if you could just like maybe stop swearing throughout class, it's like, one day I'm gonna write a rap about this.
Yeah, and then like this sounds like that, where it's like somebody like came to him and was like, hey, so I just wanted to say there was a lot of errors in the O'Reilly report.
Yeah.
If you could just fix that next time. And he's just like, I'm gonna be me, okay? you're not gonna put me in a box.
I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
These errors are part of the report now.
Oh, isn't that the worst when someone like exercises self-love and confidence when absolutely they should not be?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this is. No, this is constructive criticism. You should be here.
Look, man, just show up to work on time. That's all we're saying.
Don't try to change me.
I'll be here at 11:30 tomorrow.
All I have to do is think of me, and I have peace of mind.
Yeah, no, there's like definitely a fine line between like confidence and self-love and narcissism.
Yeah.
Right?
If I'm ever stressed, I just got to think of myself, and I'm like, oh, you're Gavin DeGraw. Don't worry about this. You got this, baby.
You look in the mirror and you're like, oh, that's right. You slowly start jerking off.
Yeah, exactly. His affirmations on the mirror are just like, me.
Me, 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 me. I'm tired of looking around rooms. I've never known that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Me neither.
I'm tired of looking around rooms, wondering what I gotta do.
Or who I'm supposed to be.
That's so funny when you learn lyrics. I thought he was saying, I'm tired of looking around, ooh, and what I gotta do.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe these are wrong, but still.
No,
that's right.
I'm tired of looking around rooms.
I guess it's supposed to be like in that party scenario. It's like, I'm trying to be in a room, seeing a bunch of people, and me like, which one of these do I fit into?
Yeah, but the truth is, like, don't you feel that there is some compromise to be made when you're in a a party scene, let's say, and there's like a bunch of rooms of different people, like, I refuse to cater to what you want to do or talk about. I will only be me. It's like, well, then don't go to the party.
Yeah.
Those people at a party.
I'm tired of looking around a room and being like, everyone's sitting down and just having a nice talk. No, I'm going to go play a video game.
Or that person who's like, guys, let's all go outside. And everyone's like, no, we're good. And it's like, come on, let's go get food. And you're like,
we're here.
The person who leaves as soon as, I have a friend who does this. I won't mention because he'll be really, very upset.
Okay.
But
his name rhymes with?
Derek Jeter. He likes to leave places. Yeah. Or he likes to hit me up and go, yo, man, what's popping tonight? And I'd be like, oh, I'm at this place. And he'd be like, man, I'm kind of tired. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why'd you hit me up?
Yeah.
Waste my fucking time.
If you don't want to kick it, we'll go to a party, and 15 minutes in, he'd be like, my dude, I'm about to get up out of here, man. Why did you come? Yeah.
I had a friend that would always be like, hey, are you doing anything tonight? And I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to go to this thing. She'd be like, cool. And it's like, are you still going to go to that thing? I don't know, I might stay in. I'm like, just don't text me then.
Fucking tag me, Demi.
There was not you.
I also would be totally fine with him just being like, yeah, I'm not into going to that. Or I don't want to do that.
Or even
that
hey, you know what? I'm realizing I'm kind of burned out on parties. Do you want to just maybe grab dinner this week?
Yeah, and I would say, no, I'm going to this party.
I'd say, no, actually, I don't fucking like you very much.
If this was 5 o'clock, I would grab dinner with you. But it's now 11:30.
Right.
I'm trying to go to this house party.
And another thing, eat dinner earlier, man. We're worried about
you. Yeah, it's too late. The calories just in your body.
And then he says, I don't want to be anything other than me.
And now I'm disappointed because we're going to go back to that verse again.
Oh, yeah.
He gave me a taste of what was coming, and now I gotta go back. Ugh.
It feels like he has a bunch of people on stage ready to sing and fill out the song, and he's just he's got one hand on the guitar and another on a giant the piano from Big, and he's just a one man. Dum dum dum. I don't need to be. That's all it is, and then he's like, all right, I'm a little tired. Let's bring the full band back.
They all are running back on stage and then back off between verse and chorus.
The choir has to get back there and sway rhythm.
Yeah.
I don't wanna be anything. All right, now this is where the lyrics truly get wild. He's like, I exhausted the narrative of trying to let you know who I am. So now I'm going to let you know who everyone else is.
Right.
The keyboard. I'm surrounded by lies. Everywhere I turn, I'm surrounded by imposters. Everywhere I turn. Surrounded by identity crisis. Everywhere I turn, I'm the only one to notice. I can't be the only one who's learned. Look, brother.
Gavin, it's your boss here again. I just feel like you have to shower before you come to work. I understand that, I'm not saying I have to put on deodorant or anything. You can use your natural deodorant.
You're trying to turn me into a drone,
no,
man.
It's the people in the office are complaining about the smell.
Uh-huh. I'm surrounded by imposters.
Yeah, the air circulation is not great in here.
Well, maybe they should learn to smell worse to cover up my smell. How come I got to change instead of all of these drones?
What, just because they're having identity crises and they haven't learned to love their scent? That's somehow on me?
I feel like I'm in a Dilbert cartoon, dude. That's what you're turning me into fucking Dilbert.
These are the words of someone who's never read a book before.
Oh, no.
Any Faulkner.
He got halfway through Catcher in the Rye and was like, yeah, I feel good about this guy.
Right, yeah, at the very least, this is exactly the text of Catcher in the Rye, sir. Okay.
I'm surprised he didn't say, I'm surrounded by phonies. Liars. Okay, I'm surrounded by liars everywhere I turn. I'm surrounded by imposters everywhere I turn.
He's turning a lot.
Yeah.
Dude loves a pivot.
I'm surrounded by identity crisis. Identity crises or something.
A singular identity crisis.
Everywhere I turn. Am I the only one to notice? I can't be the only one who's learned.
Again, pick up just one Hemingway. Just a single Hemingway.
I'd pick a different author, but also, yes, any book.
No, I'm saying if he wants to feel like a man, that's the first man to have thought of things. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Gavin is a white hotep.
He is. He's like, all these other white men, they're being brainwashed.
It's just this thing that I just feel like comes up. I mean, I don't know if this episode's come out yet, but spoiler if it hasn't, New Radicals.
Oh, it's out.
Okay. So, and then also Jason Mraz, it's like, we have at least three examples now with Gavin as well of these white dudes who kind of think they are really thinking something fresh, you know? And you're like, well, it's It's pretty old, man.
I feel like for a while, though, like nonconformism was a big thing for white men. They were like, hold up, I'm surrounded by all these other white men, and I don't want to be like that. And then like the one like black person in their audience is like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But isn't that funny how it's like, in the lack of oppression, they're like, you know what? We are being oppressed because everyone else isn't like us.
Right. Their oppression becomes like the corporations that I buy my iPhone from are trying to control me. And everyone else is like, I'm getting killed, man. It's like,
I'll tell you this, though. I would much rather have a bunch of these dudes than the alt-right.
That's like, very true, yeah.
Like, but doesn't this feel kind of like the gateway?
Yeah.
Like, some of the logic is the same.
Well, yeah, because after that kid walked past the black table, and they were like, what's up, bitch? And he was like, I'm going to show you guys.
Yeah.
Calling everyone else liars, changing the narrative instead of doing any self-reflecting, like, a lot of bad people start that way.
Mm-hmm. That kid, Richard Spencer.
Yeah.
Yep.
And those black table kids, me.
It's all of the white men, women crew.
Yeah, I went to high school with Richard Spencer.
No. You were the one that called Richard Spencer a bitch.
Yeah. Every day. Don't forget it. Rich bitch.
So are they having an identity crisis or are they liars and imposters? Because those feel like two separate things.
Yeah.
Right.
Identity crisis feels like they are trying so hard to be this thing. Like they don't know who. It sounds like they also were in the same place as Gavin. But he's like, fuck you guys who are also struggling with your identity.
Right. They very much sound all cut from the same cloth. I'm not sure where the line comes from. Am I the only one to notice? I can't be the only one who's learned. And I was like, wait, no, you're a part of this, man.
Yeah. If they're all having crises, then you are also, you all notice, you all are learning the same thing.
The fact that he predicates his entire identity on who his parents are.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good indicator he doesn't have a super strong identity, right?
No, not really.
How many pizza bagels you think Gavin used to eat?
I want to see where this is going. 12.
I'm going to say whole box.
A whole box, yeah. Right after school, into the toaster oven.
Uh-huh.
And he's like sitting with his guitar in his room. Uh-huh. His mom's like, Gavin, the pizza bagels are burning. He's like, I like them like that.
And he doesn't, but he just hated that she dared to tell him otherwise.
That's like when you die in the video game and someone's like, oh, dude. And they're like, no, I actually wanted to die.
Yeah, I'm just bored of this, actually. Let's play a new game. Let's go to Taco Bell. I don't like the game anymore.
This is just so wild. Calling people liars and imposters in your own fucking song. He couldn't just be like, you know what? I like strawberry cream cheese on an onion bagel. I'm not afraid to say it.
Right. He's like, I think...
It's good! Okay, Carl!
The, like, concept of posers and whatnot, I feel like, was such a big thing in, like, music and punk and alt, just because it's like, oh, they're not real happy. They're fake happy. But it's like, no, I think a lot of those people are happy to be in a group and have friends and, like, do things that their friends all can agree with. And
sometimes it's not that complicated.
It's not at all complicated.
Yeah. Like, it probably was really tight to be a Jonas Brother in 2008.
Absolutely.
I would kill to be, even for a day, a Jonas Brother.
Yeah.
Today,
I would kill a Jonas Brother.
To be a Jonas Brother? Like a Santa Claus scenario?
No, more like a Hannibal Lecter scenario.
Oh, like to eat them?
No, wear them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I'll be some mind. I'm tired of looking around, who's wondering what I got to do. Oh, who I'm supposed to be. I don't want to be anything other than me.
Have everyone. Oh,
sorry.
I'm jumping ahead.
No, it's like that was the same as the previous.
The only other thing I can add is that saying I think of me and I have peace of mind really like sounds like he thinks of himself as God.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
It's like I pray to myself and everything's, you know, peaceful inside. I guess it is also kind of like meditation, but it's like it's saying it in the weirdest way.
Well, isn't meditation all about like being present?
Yeah.
Not necessarily like self-worship.
Yes, no. If he's saying that thinking of himself makes himself feel like better.
Peace of mind.
Or it's like, I think of myself and I'm like, dude, I rule. Then I'm like, yeah, that's not what you're supposed to be doing, but peace of mind.
Fine line between being a full-on sociopath and just like liking himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that was the only new thing otherwise.
Yeah. He sort of goes on some runs. Like, and like at the end there.
Is he a good singer? I can't tell.
Oh, you about to see me, El.
Okay. Sorry. Jump in the gun.
He's about to go on some runs.
Okay. Let's get to that.
You're not like this and that. Gonna have to be
what?
He said, "Can I have everyone's attention, please? If you're not like this and that, you're going to have to leave."
Like, Gavin, you were barely invited to this party. Like, we told you your band couldn't play here. We had a playlist already set up, and you still brought these motherfuckers and these instruments.
Yeah.
And in flip-flops with bootcut jeans.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes after introducing himself to the person whose house it is, he gets up on a table, is like, "All right, everyone, posers, listen up. House rules." And the guy who owns the house is like, "What the fuck is going on?"
And also, who's he gesturing to when he says this and that? Because I could hear him gesturing to somebody.
I feel like he's trying to play like, "Oh, I'm representing the like other people now." And he's like, "Here's my impression of you guys. Like, oh, can I have your attention? Oh, you have to be like me or you got to leave. You fucking drones." He's one of those guys who's like, he picked one word to like sheeple and just keeps on saying it.
Plebs.
Yeah.
And the dude who owns the house is like, "Gavin, did you put pizza bagels in my toaster oven?"
Yeah.
I like them like that.
Hey, man, the smoke alarm went off. I like them. I like the room to be smoky when I'm eating them.
Smoke alarms are the government trying to control our food's temperature. Can we also talk about the noise he made before he started singing?
Yeah. If you're not like this and that, you're going to have to leave. It feels like his talking voice sounds so much like his singing voice that I'm just kind of like, maybe it's not that he's a good singer. He just like has a natural voice that sounds good when it's sung.
Wait, what?
Just like he's not like a talented, I'm like, it's not that he's a talented singer. I'm that his voice,
he has
even
a
when he's
talking
just,
voice?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just that he's got a very melodic talking voice. And sometimes when he doesn't talk, it turns into a song. I don't know, you know. You know?
He's discovered he found his voice like we all try to do in comedy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He found his singing voice. And he made money from it.
Yeah.
Except that was in the days of record labels, so he probably didn't make that much.
No.
Right.
Doesn't it also feel a little bit like he really thought he was, like, pulling a Michael Stipe here? He was like, "I'm saying some things that are emotionally raw and true."
Oh, he definitely thinks he's, like, going to get on stage to a bunch, like, a crowd of people, and they're going to have their eyes open for the first time. It's like, I am a conformist.
My question is, what's the follow-through on that realization?
Follow-through.
There is just nothing, right?
Yeah, like on the realization that you're like a lot of other people.
You're like you. He's like, "Hey," he preaches to you, and he's like, "Hey, if you got to listen, man. You got to just be you. Don't follow the culture. Just be you." Like, and then you're like, "Cool. So I don't like pizza anymore."
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, think about the things that you're pretending to like, and then just be like, okay, maybe I don't like that, or okay, well, now I have to reframe all of the, like, just think of all the things I like. It's like, well, do I like that, or is it, do I like that because society has made me like that?
Yeah, but even then, isn't that, like, extremely nuanced to, like, have to try to be like, okay, I recently bought these high-waisted jeans that I'm not totally sure about the style, but, like, I think they're kind of cool. I'm not totally sure yet. And then trying to unpack, like, do I only think they're cool because I keep seeing them on Instagram? Like,
right. It's
far more insidious than just, like, I only bought them to be cool.
I feel like at a certain point, okay. So I have found a comfort zone in the snapback hat.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get into the dad hat. It makes the bottom of my face look much more Mr.
And
Potato.
And just to clarify,
head-y.
That's the curved bill, yes? The dad hat?
The dad hat, yeah. It's like okay. It's like what he's wearing.
Uh-huh,
like,
uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, I'm a snapback guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So my little brother's 20. And he has said, "Carl, we got to get you some new hats, man."
Why? It looks
snap
cool.
Back. And I'm like, "Look, man, I have settled into my generation, okay?
Yeah.
Like, this is
it not cool anymore?"
The snapback it had a day where when the dad hat really got popping,
uh-huh.
It kind of faded away.
So Gen Z is not into the flat bill.
No, no, no.
This is news to me.
Yeah, yeah. My little brother is definitely like, he tried to roast me.
No,
for the,
you got to do you.
And I told him, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. And what I've been trying to be lately is a person who still wears snapbacks 10 years later.
All you got to do is think you're snapback and you got peace of mind.
Exactly.
That's how I feel
this
about certain
guy.
Fashion trends, too. I'm like, I see teens doing it and I'm like, I'm 30 years old. I can't do this anymore.
Oh, yeah. I think at a certain point, you're just like, you do settle into, I mean, you do sort of settle into what Gavin's saying. It's like, you don't want to chase trends anymore. You're like, this works for me.
This works for me.
And I don't feel like anyone roasting me hurts, so I don't care.
Yeah, and even if it's a new trend out that you try it on and you're like, oh, this works, I can get with this,
totally.
That's fine.
Yeah,
but certain things, like rips in my jeans.
Yeah.
I just started doing that, like, and I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't think I was going to be into this, and yet I like it.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is sort of a newer, I mean, it's been around forever, but like, you know, like the newer style of rips in your jeans, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I can get with that.
The risk of looking like a dork, I think we're far more comfortable with the older we get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
This has actually been quite deep, but I didn't expect this, Gavin DeGraw.
this is what he wanted. He's like, I'm going to set you guys up to really think about what I'm saying and whether or not it is smart.
Is Gavin DeGraw right?
Wow.
He's Gavin, a philosopher.
Shot in the dark, you want to like grab dinner sometime?
Oh my God, Gavin, everyone are liars.
Yeah. Everyone are liars.
Everyone be liars.
Everyone is in identity crisis.
All people is liar. So, you know, what can we say? What to
what
do?
What say me? No,
what
no.
do now? No, no.
Gavin, I just turned and I realized I'm surrounded by lies.
And then I turned again and I was like, imposters. And then I turned again and I was like, I just looked this way, but suddenly now everyone's having an identity crisis.
It's crazy. It's like one of the liars walked away and now it's an identity crisis.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what situation I'm in where everyone surrounding me is constantly changing, but I'm just spinning in a circle.
It feels like he put on those glasses from that movie They Live and he's like looking around and he's like, oh, you're all zombies. I gotta write a song and let you know.
Oh my gosh, we just joined the Church of Gavin.
Yeah. Fuck. Carl, it's your brother. It's realizing I can't really keep up with Gen Z anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Chariot.
I came from the mountain.
What?
Across the creation.
Okay, this is definitely a God myth.
My whole situation made of clay or stone, and now I'm telling everybody.
What a church!
Yeah.
He turned again and he saw God?
It sounds like he sets it up where it's like, okay, maybe I'm doing a God thing. And then it's like, here, let me just say, no, I was made out of clay. I was formed. I'm a perfect being.
Okay, I have no religious experience. I know nothing. I haven't read a single page of the Bible.
Sure.
Is that like a Bible thing?
I think like to come down from the mountaintop, yeah.
Yeah. Because
that's where Jesus had his Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, that's that where Go Tell It on the Mountain comes from?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a really specific insult.
It's also, a Woo Life album. Anyway.
Okay. My whole situation.
I came from the mountain. Oh, the crust of creation.
Sure. And then, if I can say this, my whole situation made from clay to stone.
And now I'm telling everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you guys don't find that hysterical that he's like, my whole situation, clay. My whole situation.
Is it like it was made from clay and now it's stone?
Now it's stone. It's hard. He's setting it. He's setting his ways.
I kind of hate that I'm like, it's kind of poetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of good.
Ugh.
This is like when I first heard that fucking Postal Service song, Such Great Heights.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we're both made from the clay. Fuck, what is the exact lyric? Hang on.
I don't know.
I'm thinking it's a sign that the freckles in our eyes are mirror images. And when we kiss, they're perfectly aligned. I have to speculate that God himself did make us into corresponding shapes like puzzle pieces from the clay. I remember being in high school and hearing that and being like, fuck, am I into God now?
That's like so many like analogies that I'm like, all right, well, pick one. Yeah. God made us into like puzzle pieces from clay. Anyway.
I think it's perfect, but also in my head, I'm still 14 when I listen to that song.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't expect the God twist. That was, wow.
The thing is, I came from the mountain is like, oh, I'm Jesus. And he's like, no, the crust of creation. Like, I was made on the top of the mountain. It's like just...
Like a titan?
So you have no... Exactly. It's like, I came from Zeus's fucking head. It's like, I don't want you guys to have any doubt about what I'm saying. I am the Lord.
Oh my God, wait. He's God. Is Gavin DeGraw Jesus?
I think he's saying that Jesus went up to the mountain and he came down with Gavin DeGraw.
Think about it. Gavin, G-A-V-I-N. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S.
Ooh. DeGraw and Christ have the same amount of letters, too.
Don't count them.
That's six.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn.
And Jesus, H, Christ.
H?
H was...
Shane.
Yeah.
Shane.
Damn.
Wow. So when he says, when I think of me, I have peace of mind, he really is like touching a little cross around his necklace, and he's like,
Wait a minute.
My little secret.
How old is Gavin DeGraw now?
I said 77. I meant negative 77.
So he's...
Because you know,
33
he's
years
33.
Old.
He's
33. Oh no, Gavin!
That's how old
die.
Jesus was when he died.
Yeah.
Fuck.
No.
Gavin, Jesus has been one of us this whole time, and he's Gavin DeGraw.
Jesus resurrected when he was 42. When Jesus was 42, he resurrected.
Yeah.
That's Gavin DeGraw just came out with another album, didn't he?
Ooh.
Am I lying? I could be.
He's been.
Don't look it up.
He's been like trying to give us all of these like hints, just like I'm Jesus.
You guys,
I can't tell you, but I'm Jesus.
The flip flops. It was there the whole time.
Oh,
Jesus
my
sandals.
Yeah.
He was wearing sandals.
And when he walked in the sand,
was
it's
frozen.
There that he carried you, my child.
Yes.
When you saw those sandals in the sand.
Oh, my God. The drummer went so hard.
Because? That drummer's name? Judas Iscariot.
I was trying to do a Collins joke, but yeah, you got it.
That harmony? Pontius Pilate.
through the cack, cack, cack.
That's him whipping Jesus on the cross.
Ooh, Christian people are mad now.
No, they're just like, well, that's okay. That is facts.
Gavin,
or they're
the
like,
Rock.
We have a sense of humor about it.
Just listen, blink twice if you're not Jesus. Wow, and now I'm telling everybody. So he really is going on to like preach.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say. I am Jesus and I'm going to go preach.
He set a bush on fire in the music video too.
You
right?
guys, oh my God. That's why he's telling us who his parents are at the top.
Ooh.
He's letting us know. Prison guard, it's like a...
Joseph.
Yeah,
he's... Mary is a specialist in not having sex but having a kid.
And when he says prison, he's talking about sheep.
Ooh.
Because they're in the prison of conformity.
Is there a line coming up where he talks about three people visiting him as a kid?
Oh my God. Yeah, the liars, the imposters, and the fucking identity crisis.
Also, pizza bagels. You know pizza. He likes them hot and too tough. The bread that Jesus, like, here's my body.
Yeah.
Gavin DeGraw's body is pizza bagels.
Oh, shit. We've really cracked into something. Yeah. Look. Liars, imposters, and identity crisis are the three wise men.
Yes.
Damn.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat this in remembrance of me.
I thought you were going to say, when pizza was in Egypt land, let my bagels go.
I'm just thinking about a church that serves pizza bagels now instead of bread. Imagine they have fucking Capri Suns instead of wine.
Oh my God. Oh. Instead, those are the communion wafers, just tiny little pizza bagels.
You imagine youth group that offered that? They would convert a lot of kids.
Absolutely.
Okay, honestly, Christianity, if you're listening, take notes.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can praise Jesus anytime.
Where can we go from here? We've already cracked it.
Yeah. Now I'm telling everybody. Oh, this is the theme song part.
Right.
Other than what I've been trying to be lately. Here you go, Mio. All I have to do is think of me and my
peace of mind. That was not a run. If you have to break up the notes as like a staccato glottal stop, that's not a run.
And my peace of mind. Mine. I like it.
Did he like run out of spit?
Yeah, they cut out a mine.
I do like when they pull a whole band out.
Yeah.
Especially when the drummer's gonna do that fill he's been doing.
Oh yeah.
And he knows I like it.
Everyone else is on like just kinda like, this is a very chill song. Drummer's like, no, I'm going fucking hard.
Yeah, Jesus is like, can you relax? And he's like, I cannot, this is for you, sir.
This is my way of telling you something's about to happen to you. This is the last supper we get.
Alright, and then he's just gonna keep singing.
Oh yeah, then we got the rest of the song.
Yeah, let's hit it.
Oh, this is just the whole end.
Okay. I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and my peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around. Who's wondering what I gotta do or who I'm supposed to be. I don't want to be anything other than me.
Like, everyone's got their hands up in the church service.
I don't wanna be.
Preach!
Lord, he has taken my spirit.
Oh, come on!
Yeah. And you have a church of bros in the back.
I don't wanna be.
Oh, it's a fade out!
Yeah,
the drummer did not get the fade out memo.
No, drummer's like, we're going hard. You fade me out.
Three times I thought he was going to go up to a higher note that he did not do.
No, he did not.
He really is teasing me because I thought he was going to go, what I'm trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I peace of mind. Like, right? Didn't he keep thinking?
Yeah.
No.
He didn't get to that. He kept it in his range.
He did.
The man.
That's like what I wanted.
He did that.
He didn't go to that top note.
Oh.
He was like, meh, and then just changed.
Oh, damn.
See, even you heard it.
I don't want to be when he's like, hey. That's like his high point.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like harmonizing with his,
yeah.
And it's like, it's good. I like it.
I just want that energy there the whole song.
You want that there.
I think I do enjoy the song.
Keep that same energy, Jesus.
Exactly.
Keep that same energy, Jesus.
KTSE.
Wow.
So what could you have possibly done to this holy hymn?
Well, this is... Before I show you what I did to it, I just need to show you, now that we've listened to it, how much this sounds like another song.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't. This is a song that came out the year before, and I looked at it. The producer that produced this song also produced this album. So I think, and it also falls into the exact same trap of what the fuck verse and then chorus that slaps.
Yeah.
So I a little bit think maybe these songs are referencing, or at least fucking Gavin DeGraw's song is referencing Maroon 5's Harder to Breathe.
Yeah.
Dude, play it. I'll show you. I'll sing over it.
I don't think I know this song.
Yeah, you do.
I don't need to be anything other than a prison guard's son.
It even works the same way.
I don't need to be anything other than a specialist son.
He at least got more notes.
I don't have to be anyone other than the birth of two souls in one. Part of where I'm going is knowing where I'm coming from. And I don't wanna be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
I mean, right?
This is blowing my mind.
They feel the same.
I feel like Gavin's works better. In that I'm
really?
like it's more of a, it starts out more sparse and then goes to more of a like explosion. Whereas this, I'm like, it feels like you just added one more person in the chorus.
Harder to breathe was also on that MTV countdown.
That's what I'm saying. It was the year
was
before.
This Love was on that one.
Oh,
same
yeah.
album, though.
Songs about Jane?
Yeah.
About Jane. It's a good album.
Yeah, did y'all read the Chris Kattan book?
What? No.
What'd he say?
He dated Jane.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a real Jane.
There's a real Jane. Chris Kattan dated Jane.
Jane Kattan.
And Jane dipped on him because she also dipped on Adam Levine.
Yeah.
That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Adam Levine, yeah. And, yeah.
You don't go Levine to Kattan.
She went Levine to Kattan.
That's insane.
You got to read the book.
He went from the Super Bowl to Mango. No offense to Chris Kattan, who is a lovely man.
Maybe. Anyway. That's not what I did, though. I just needed to get that out of my system because they just sound the same to me. What I did, no one's going to like. And that's okay.
You really set yourself up for failure.
Listen, it's what, episode 300? How many fucking times can you rewrite a song before you lose your marbles a little bit, right?
Sure.
So basically the thesis is I don't want to be anything. And then also the kind of like underlying religious connotation of the song. I don't even need to tell you. Just play it.
Okay.
It's something.
Mm. Ooh, we're at a spa. Guided meditation. Had a great idea for a Coca-Cola ad.
No, it's fixed.
Wow. That was a
that was it.
That was truly I truly would, like, once I realized what was happening, I was like, all right, I'm gonna close my eyes and legitimately try to meditate.
It works though for that.
I don't want to be any. It's such a, I think cutting it down to I don't want to be anything is such a like depressing meditation. It's like, I don't want to live. Ding.
Or it's like transcendental. It's like, I'm nothing, therefore I'm everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. I knew when I made it, I was like, this is kind of a fuck you to everyone who listens to this podcast.
Hey.
But I think it's very funny.
We've earned ourselves one fuck you.
Ooh. Oh, boy, that's funny.
I'm very glad you think it's funny.
Oh, man. I was like, all right, the
attack's
going to kick in soon. It's about to kick in. I'm like, oh, this is just the intro. She's doing this. She's doing like a, you know, like a Janet Jackson intro, like a moth to a flame.
Yeah.
Fire. Like.
Nope. It's the whole fucking thing.
Right. So the punch up is like, if for your version, it should be that, and then it just kicks into the.
I don't want to be anything. To me, it just sounds so fucking meditative when you're like, I don't need to be anyone.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anything.
Other than what I've been trying to be lately.
I don't even need that second half.
That was funny.
I love when the animal noises came in, the.
Ooh! The loon?
Yeah.
You need a loon in any meditation.
And you hit the pot at the end, a little boom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love it.
You ever fucking find yourself recording chants of Gavin DeGraw for
an hour? It's been a while for me.
Yeah, no, that's when you know you've made the correct choices in life.
I got to
yeah.
update my logic. I can't.
Honestly, it's available for download on Patreon, and you could try meditating to it. See
yes,
how it goes.
Yes, please. If you're able to meditate to it, let us know how it goes. And if you're not able to meditate, let us know what's changed in your life and why no, you can't get there.
Something changes after listening to that.
Yeah.
Should we get to Unpunchable Jam?
We got to.
You can't punch this.
Carl!
As our esteemed guest, would you like to tell us your Unpunchable Jam mm-hmm. first?
Yes, sure. My Unpunchable Jam. I wrote down some, and I have to find mm-hmm. them. So
yeah, we've been through a lot.
I am going to vamp because it's been a month or uh-huh. two, mm-mm. a long time.
Yeah, keep going.
Vamp
good.
For me.
Yeah. No, you're going to
well, I can go
it.
First also if you want.
Oh, yeah, you go first.
I'm going to pick something that was inspired by Carl's Twitter bio because it's Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah. I'm a redneck woman. I ain't no high-class broad. I'm just a product
of my race. And I say, hey, y'all, Andy Hawk. And I keep I have talked about how much I love that song and how much I listen to that song as a kid all the time, and it still rules, and I want to do it at karaoke sometime, but like seeing your bio, I was like, now's the time. I'm gonna shout out how much I love Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson. I know all the words. I love that song as a kid. It just slaps.
Okay, I have to ask.
Yeah.
I can't keep straight our bonus episodes in this podcast.
Well, I never.
Is there a chance you've already made it Unpunchable Jam?
I have not.
Okay, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Been the bomb
you do
time.
love that song.
I do.
Found it.
Okay, Carl, you ready?
Carl, tell us yeah. what song you love.
Okay, listen. Back That Ass Up by Juvenile is my favorite song of all time. Girl, you know what's good, won't you back that ass up? You's a fine motherfucker, won't you back that ass up? Only say that when you back that ass up. Oh, who is you playing with? Back that ass up. Yeah, he says in that song, my favorite lyric in that song is, you got a stupid ass, yeah, make me laugh. Yeah. And it's like, because it's like, basically, you know how people say, like black people when something's funny, they go, you stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he said her ass is stupid.
Yeah.
Because it makes him laugh. But that's not the number one Unpunchable.
Okay.
Can I tell you the number one?
Sure. Yeah.
Summertime by Fresh Prince.
Ooh! Good one. Think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back because it's summertime.
It was inspired by you in a way because you do such funny
Will Smith.
Right. Will Smith. I made an enemy of the Fresh Prince.
Yeah. And I just like when you listen to that song, it's like it's so transcendent of time and mm-hmm. He perfectly crafted the perfect summer day
yeah.
mm-hmm.
of like to where you when it ends. You go like, damn, what is life? It made me feel like when the song ends, you go, it's like, do you guys remember when you, we talked about high school a lot in this. Do you remember when you graduated high school and you knew, like, maybe people had parties that last day or that whole last week, mm-hmm. like after prom when everybody's getting their cap and gowns from mm-hmm. the cafeteria, you're turning in your sports uniform so you can make sure you walk stage, all that
yeah.
type of stuff. And it's just like, and you're really not going to class. Everybody's just kind of kicking it on the quad.
That yeah. crazy energy.
Yeah. And the energy is so crazy because A, you're all probably 18 at this point, which makes you like real adults.
Yeah.
And you know, like this is going to be the last time we are all together.
You're super present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people cry at graduation, when they're like, wow, this is really the last time. Then after graduation, I know we there was like three people that had house parties and our parents all like, let us get the car all night
yeah.
that night. Or like, we went to
they
like,
know
literally,
too.
Yeah, it's like literally did not come home until like five,
yep.
six in the morning, which was like the first time ever. And even like that next week, my mom was like, no, bring no, your ass
that
home.
Was a special situation.
Yeah, yeah, because they knew it was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
That's what the ending of Summertime feels like from top to bottom. It's just
yeah.
like, here it is, a groove that's slightly transformed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is just the perfect day.
It's the
and
ultimate
And when it ends, you go like, damn, man.
But you kind of relive it a little bit.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I hear that song, I'm taken right back to that place.
Yeah.
Just that fun summer day when summer actually meant something
yeah.
for, you know, he had a job.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. The last few weeks of like childhood. Where it's like, okay, either people are going to college in a couple months, or people are starting jobs,
yeah.
or like
going abroad, whatever.
Whatever they're gonna do. So like these, like every weekend was like bonfire at Dockweiler,
and all of a sudden you're like best friends.
Yeah,
you never really hung out that much before.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. People who you just got to know in like the last week of school.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, you've been cool for 12 years type.
Yeah. But summertime is like, that to me is like an unpunchable.
Oh,
it's a good one.
And also now it's summer, so perfect timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I want to do for my unpunchable jam. I don't want anyone to think that I'm like above like a stupid pop song, because I am not. And so I to prove
why
it.
Why don't think you're above a stupid pop song?
Because I dogged on this stupid pop song for the last three, 4 hours, however long it's been.
Fair.
So I'm choosing a stupid pop song that I fucking love and I will not apologize for it. And that is Crush by David Archuleta.
David Archuleta from American Idol?
Uh-huh.
I don't know that song.
It's the only song I think of his that really popped off. And even then, it didn't really pop off.
Yeah.
Every part about this song, I'm like, yes, David, preach it to me, David. David, like, I could literally do a whole episode about this song. I love this song so much. It's so terrible. It's good. You have to listen to it. Marissa, I need you to put in where the chorus drops. That's the spot that has to be in the song. Marissa's giving me a thumbs up, I think, to say she gets it, but also because she also loves the song. Yeah, she likes it. She does not know it.
She does not know it.
Carl, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. This has been a real blast.
Oh, yeah, it's been a blast having you, dude. I'm glad that we got to revisit this song, and like, I feel like I feel the same way I did before, but I'm also just like, it was a positive feeling. Good
song. Yeah, it was just fun.
Yeah.
Next time, we got to do Pretty Ricky's on the hotline and punch up those sexy, dumb lyrics.
I think the reason that I like shied away from that one is like it didn't immediately come to my head what it is, but I'm sure if I heard it.
I was like, people probably don't know this, but it was their like biggest hit. Yeah. It was the one that made it to the pop charts.
For sure.
Like, oh no, because they had like Grind On Me and Your Body both. They were both.
Grind On Me.
Yeah, you know that song, right?
From Vine, yeah.
Oh, from Vine?
Yeah, it's the only.
Oh, it was out like 10 years before Vine.
Yeah. I only know it from Vine.
I feel like I've heard of On the Hotline. I couldn't hear it in my head instantly. Yeah. But this one, I was like, no, I definitely know what this is.
And this
is.
One was much better, I will say.
Okay.
Where can people follow you, find you, watch you, listen to you?
You can find me on, why am I blanking? You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at DammitCarl, DammitCarl. And you can hear me on the Flagrant Ones on Patreon. I host with your buddies, the boys, Sean Clements and Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook.
Who've been on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a basketball podcast, but you don't need to love basketball to love the show, because it's really just me and the boys being shitty.
You guys are all so funny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And also, other than that, come to UCB sometime. I'm there a lot.
Just loiter, you'll see him.
You loiter, you'll see me. And if you got a job, if you got a show you want me to write on, I'll do it.
Fuck yeah. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, man. You can follow the show at Punch Up the Jam everywhere. You can go to facebook.com/punchupthejam. You can email us at punchupthejam@gmail.com. Go to our website, punchupthejam.com. Check out if we have tour dates. I don't know. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/punchupthejam. And, you know, go outside and eat some goddamn vegetables, you hippie kids. All right.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.